study with Kathy, which is sister, and I tried to point her toward other workshops today, and she said, no, I'm coming here. I said, Kathy, you've even been with me there. You know most of what I'm saying. I'm grateful to have her because she has had a ministry in that area of the world, too, with me and partnering with me. And I'll tell you some of that about later. I'm a children's teacher, and when Catherine Mahaffey called me and asked me to do this workshop and told me they would like something in the area of the Eastern Bloc or Eastern Europe, I thought, I've been there, and I know the things that I've seen, and I know the little bit that I know, that I'm not an expert on the Soviet Bloc. And I remembered a statement by George Kennan, former U.S. ambassador to Russia, who said, there is no such thing as an expert on the Eastern Bloc, only varying degrees of ignorance. And so, if I talk about myself a little bit, and tell you a little bit about what God's used us for there, and I'm just like Marilee Horton, who said, I know the most about me, so I have to use myself some. I talked with my friend Gosia Kowalik in Warsaw on Tuesday, and I told her I'd be here sharing what God is doing in her country, Poland, and how God is using Christian workers there. And she said, well, tell them that it's changing so fast that we can't do anything. We were in the Soviet Union for the first time. Well, I was in the Soviet Union for the first time in 1971. I don't want to just give you a lot of facts. You didn't come here to learn facts. Because you can hear those on the news, right or wrong. You can hear those on the news. And I didn't come here even to share the particulars, even of our ministry. More than that, when I prayed about the preparation for this, I realized that you could come and just say, you've turned my heart toward more than particulars, I'll be sharing the principles of the ministry. Who knows? God might get me on some of his work there. As a text, let me share with you Acts 14, 27 and 28. Paul's coming back to his home church, Antioch. And the Bible says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Now that last verse, I'll tell you, I would love to say that. I would love to be part of this work. It's exciting. Paul one time said he was going to winter in a place. I'd like to winter here. This would be a good place. But I'm from Jacksonville, Texas, in East Texas. And we travel in and out of Jacksonville, Texas, doing church revivals. I do Bible schools, Bible camps. Much of that work is done in Europe and in the Eastern Bloc. I'm not super talented or super creative. I don't have a seminary education. I'm married to an evangelist who works in the Soviet Union, and that's how God opened the door to me. You know what's important is that as I look at mission work throughout the world, it's not always the super gifted, super educated people God's using. It's ordinary people like you and me. We are willing to tell what they know. It doesn't matter that we know the most, but that we're willing to share the gifts of what we know with people. And in fact, There's a lady who's a friend of mine named Janet Irwin from Abilene, Texas. And she very honestly said to me over a table in Abilene, in Europe last year, where we were having lunch together, "I can't believe God chose to use you for this work." She said, you know, and that sat me back a couple of inches, and I said, "Okay, you're right, Janet, I can't either." And then she said, your gift is not really organization." I said, "No, it's not." And she said, "You never really went to school for this." I said, "No, I didn't. But God put me. And that's what I mean." And she laughed and she said, "Yeah." I said, she said, "At first I couldn't understand it. But now I understand that that's what he's done." And you know, unless God has put you there, you shouldn't be there anyway, no matter what your gift is. Kind of exciting when you know that that's not your natural talent. You know that it's God's work. Cal Washburn and I were just talking about how God put her here and how he's using her in the children's ministry here. And I think she has much of the same testimony that God knows the route to take. He knows the path in any mission work or even here at home. No matter what, once your heart is turned toward him, when it turns toward work, Kathy and I talked this morning about hearts being turned toward missions and the doors seeming to be locked. And sometimes they stay locked for a long time. But if your heart's turned that way, God's the one who will open the door. He's the one who will be there. God is constantly looking for ordinary people to use in an extraordinary way. So the only explanation for their life is God. That way you don't get the glory from God. And I honestly stand before you and tell you this morning that God gets every glory for anything he used me for. Because I'm a very ordinary person. And I myself shake my head like I can't believe it. And I can't believe he's using me in this. In how he's orchestrated. It's important to be the right person, an humble person, realizing that it's God who's put you there. But it's also very important in missions, especially in Eastern Bloc, to be quiet for a while, to learn their culture, to learn their beliefs, to learn the right approach to ministry there before you come in and make a mess. It has been a fact that Westerners have gone in for a long time, made a mess, caused a problem. They get to go home. It's the people in the Eastern Bloc who have had to suffer for this. You see, when we talk about the Eastern Bloc, a lot of times we think about it as a block of ice that's falling out slowly, opening up a little bit. But maybe it would be better to think of it as an ice tray with seven cubes in it, or maybe eight if you want to count Yugoslavia. But you know, Yugoslavia is kind of Switzerland of the Eastern Bloc. They've pronounced themselves a neutral nation, and they are as far as the Eastern Bloc is concerned. But if we think of the Eastern Bloc as an ice tray with seven ice cubes in it, at different degrees of thawing, then we can understand it better. There are four of those ice cubes that are still really frozen tight. East Germany, Bulgaria, Romania, and then what else? East Germany, Romania, Bulgaria, and I've got it. Czechoslovakia, thank you. Ah, Wanda took notes yesterday. Czechoslovakia are still frozen very tight. They don't give us any personal freedoms. It's harder to get in. There are still many, many restrictions in those countries to sharing the gospel. For instance, in those countries, they're still not allowed to have children's hymns, which is what I work in color. Three of those cubes of ice have really thawed a lot. USSR, amazing to us. Poland and Hungary have thawed the most. And they're able to have religious meetings. They're able to even witness on the street. Maybe you saw the Billy Graham on television recently, where in Hungary all the people gathered, over 26,000 came forward showing interest in receiving Christ, there was such a press of the crowd from those people in Hungary came forward that the counselors had to throw the literature back to them, get it to them. Oh, it was fantastic. I had a friend in the Lucia. Her eyes were so big when she told me about Lucia's Polish. And she had been in that meeting, and it was the first time she'd seen anything of that magnitude. In fact, it was the first time any Americans there had seen anything of that magnitude. And she said, but it didn't happen just at the invitation. When they walked in that stadium, you could feel the power of God when the service again started. When Joni Erickson taught and shared her testimony, there wasn't a dry eye there. God's working in this room. In Poland, we're allowed to go out on the street and share Christ openly. We still have to go to the local government and get a permit. But we've not had problems doing that. For the last two summers, we can do that. Three summers ago, they wouldn't give us permission. So it's just in the last 24 months, in the last 3 years, that it's really thought out in Poland so that they're not afraid to show the gospel. And in the USSR, the country that, quote, started it all, you've seen, and you've learned that it's illegal. You've seen the fact that it's buying and buying. I can't tell you the facts. I don't know if it's a real thing. I don't know how real the freedoms are. And I heard a radio announcement this very morning on Christian radio. It's like, come with us and take Bibles, much needed Bibles, into the USSR before the door closes again. I don't know if the door is going to close again. I don't know what it means. I don't even know that it really is open to me and God is with me. And that as this openness comes, people who were afraid to go to the church and hear the message of Christ are not afraid of it. And the churches are packed even more than they were before. And I know that in Poland, when we shared the gospel, so many people came from the street to the services at night that we had to go outside to minister because we couldn't fit them in the building. And I know that with this buying process, hearts are opening to the gospel, and it's exciting. But the right approach may mean that we have to go in total humility when we go. We Americans are impatient. We want to grow church yesterday. We want to baptize 3,000 yesterday. And we want to come in with our methods because they're the best. We want to come in with our beliefs because our beliefs are perfect. And we want to do it our way. After all, it's the only way we know. We cannot do that. We have to first of all learn their culture. We have to learn their beliefs before we can minister. The first time I went to Poland was with my husband. And for almost 4 weeks, all I did was greet people with a holy kiss. They kiss each other. I like that. The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss, and you'll get more kisses in Eastern Europe than you've ever imagined happening from your sisters, not from your brothers. And it's wonderful, but all I did was look and listen for 3.5 weeks. And I learned a lot. And then the next time I went, God used me in children's camps. Still, I wasn't quite ready to be used. They didn't believe puppets should be used in church. They believed that that was bringing the theater into the holy place, and that shouldn't be done. They didn't have the same freedom of thought that we had. They really didn't. That was okay. I didn't mind being under a tree with the other children. I wanted to do it their way. I was working for them. So we have to go in without criticism, seeing how they do it, doing it their way, taking their approach to ministry. And then the next year, because I was willing and obedient to serve their way, I said, oh, don't set up out here. Bring it on into the church. It was okay. They had seen that what I did really was under the authority of God, and that what I taught really was remembered by the children, and that I wasn't going to do anything that was for show, that I was going to do it for the purpose of teaching. They saw that. Always use my Bible and teach with me. always looking up front. Look at the Word of God. And then it's like, okay, that's got that attitude. It's intended for its word to be spoken to the Bible. In restricted areas, there are many practical things that we have to learn besides ministry beliefs that we have to learn. In restricted areas, sometimes we have to learn such practical things as in Africa and in Poland to absolutely clean the plate. And when it's cabbage for the third time that day, it's not always fun. But you eat every bite anyway, sometimes praying to God to help you. You have to learn things like not shopping in front of them. We have so much fun. We're so wealthy. Even if we can't get money. That's one of the main things that I have to learn. Not ever to shop in front of them. To shop on my own time when nobody would see the packages that I was bringing in. It's not a sin that we have money. How wonderful, how God has blessed us. But we must never want to for the rest of the world to afford. I have to learn even how to give. God would impress my heart to give, and I'd want to give everything out of my purse. But if I gave $50 to a pole, that would be like giving $2,400 to you. It would be 2 or 3 months' wages. And that's enough. So I even have to learn how to give and through the proper channels. So it's very important to go in with humility and then with sensitivity to how they feel. And then with adaptability, to understand that we're loving this with and for them. They know the ropes, and we have to learn them from them. And then in every ministry, even in your church here, there are those people who will always see the glass half empty instead of half full. There are always those negative people. You won't advance your ministry and your heart and what God's told you to do as much as other people. So it's very important in ministry, anywhere, to soar with the eagles instead of roost with the turkey. To seek out those people who want to advance the cause of Christ. You know what I'm talking about. Even in a Sunday school class, you can get in with a group who wants to pick on the negatives instead of the positives. My husband tells a story of two shoe salesmen going to a South Sea island. And one of them radioed home and said, "Don't send me any shoes here. Nobody wears them." And the other guy radioed home and said, "Send me all the shoes you've got. No, everybody here needs them." It's important to find a person who wants to do what God has led you to do, who will help you attain that goal. In Poland, when I first went, and I was working along the Russian border with those people who were so conservative that they didn't believe in bringing the puppets even into the camp service for children, that I worked with them. Then God showed me a woman who had a mission, a lovely woman of God who said, "Let's get after it. Let's go for it. Let's do anything we can do to reach our communities for Christ." And in her camp that I went to next, she's the one who got permission to go on the street. And summer before last, we went on the street 7 days in a row. Last summer, we went on the street 7 days in a row. And people came and came and came for the services. We had several adults saved in a children's camp. Isn't that great? That was exciting. Lucia Bennett started the first children's camp in Poland. Right after World War II, Lucia's mom and dad, who welcomed him to Jesus, realize how much the children have been through. They've been through hunger. They've been through so much fear. And to see the sight of God, they just needed to see some trees, some green grasses, and blue sky instead of buildings that had been shot down and smoke marks. And they invited 7 children into their own home for a lifetime for 2 weeks. Lucia's parents took them for those 2 weeks. They did without them just the left of the steps in order to feed those children. Let's do everything we can do. And her camp only holds 50 children. I mean, that's how many it ought to hold. She's always had over 80 for her kids. She just can't say no. One more child saved. The Baptists in Poland have 14 children's camps that they put on every summer. It's their main tool for evangelism. These children's camps have from 50 to 75 children per camp. So they reach a lot of children. And 60% of these children are unchurched kids. They're not Baptist kids. A lot of them come from Catholic homes. Of course, Catholicism being the main religious work in the world. And we see a lot of children saved. In Lucia's camp last summer, we saw over 35 children see the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And you say, well, do the Baptists then disciple these kids? What do they do to grow them up? They try. 3 years ago, I saw a young man saved. He had been to the camp the last two summers. So I thought, you watch him for three summers. He is from a Catholic home. The Baptists continually bring him to church. The Lord's keeping him. And that's up to him. In these camps, children in Poland are considered 9 to 14 as a child. They don't get to be with them until 15. I like that. That would be wonderful here. But so you can see the age group that we minister to there. They did the first children's camp that we know of in Czechoslovakia. That was one of the tightly frozen countries. There may have been others in the Slovak section of Czechoslovakia, but in the Czech section, it's the first children's camp that we know about. And Lucia Bennett went to do it. She's the one who started it in Czechoslovakia. Gave 2 weeks of her time to go and do that camp. And they had almost 20 children at this one in Czechoslovakia. And it was without permission. And so they kept it quiet. And they kept the children in three separate homes, but then they would gather together at lunch and have their Bible lesson together after lunch. And one day the militia, the police, came and drove around the house where they were gathered for lunch with all these 20 children. They're so exciting things being told to how God's protecting them. Of these 20 children who came to this camp, 11 had already received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But 6 of the other children were saved. So our prayer is, when we look at the Soviet bloc, that these other nations will be opened more and more and more to the gospel, to camps, on the streets, for evangelism. In Poland, I told you we can speak on the streets now. And Michael was in a town last summer called Torun. Our friend named Adam Gucci, who had been Michael's interpreter in the past, is a pastor. A really tight church that he's pastored for 2 years. God has given 7 members, 7 sons. Tiny little church, and Adam was discouraged. They set up street meetings this past summer in Torun. I've seen the pictures. I don't know how many people it was. It was a lot of people that came. They had over 2 people come to receive literature and inquire about trusting Christ. Adam has baptized over 100. From 7 to over 100. He's real busy with it. He's not discouraged. He's probably dead tired, but he's not discouraged. And I can't help but think about the stories that are coming out of the USSR. I haven't been to the USSR lately, but Michael has. And he tells me that the churches are packed and there is indeed a spiritual awakening in Russia. That's wonderful. I'd like to go. But I guess the main thing, when God opens our hearts for missions, Paul was saying that God had given her such a heart, no wonder coming out of a church like this one. He's given her such a heart. No wonder you coming out of First Baptist Forum or something have such a heart. Some of you others, God has just, since your childhood, like me, given you a heart for missions. I know I was 12 years old. And I bowed my head and thanked God. Missionary had just talked about eating dog in Japan. And I remember, after hearing her speak, bowing my head and saying, "Dear Jesus, even if I have to eat dog, I want to do it. I want to do it." And God's done the same thing in some of your hearts, or you wouldn't be here today. You didn't come here for information. So saying God's given our heart for mission. I guess the most important thing is that initial calling in your life. I don't know, you may be a wife, and it's not possible for you to go there. And I know that that right spirit will pray with all your heart for these areas of the world. And as you hear of areas opening up and you hear of the victories in your heart from the Lord, because you have part in that, just as much as if you were there. Just as much as if you were there. And it's important when we go into Eastern Europe, that we go as a servant and not as a celebrity. Vance Havner said, we're in the people rescuing business. We just have to decide if we're running a showboat or a lifeboat. Amen. That's what we have to decide. Many years ago, Michael and I were visiting in a pastor's office with a Russian pastor who had been in prison for some time. His body was scarred from being in prison. Some of his toes had been cut off because of frostbite. This man bore on his body the scars of loving Jesus. And I remember being so comfortable that many of us were talking about the son of Jesus. We let him know who he was. That amazing love of Jesus is what gives us the there to be a celebrity. I put on puppet shows. I pray for ministry. It's amazing to me that God seems to be changing that, and I'm doing more and more training of them instead of puppet work myself. They can multiply dozens of times. What I do, like your Sunday school teachers, multiply dozens of times your heart. God started using them and laying puppet ministry, clown ministry, flannel graph, all these creative things on their hearts. And when it opens to them, it's like this light comes on. They say, "Oh, this is great. I can do this. I can do evangelism. I can share Jesus. I can call children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Better than I can." It's embarrassing. It's wonderful. Got this letter. Dated July the 10th, 1989. "Dear Jan, unfortunately, I can't meet you this summer because I must go to a Christian children's camp in Trishmit." Sure. They put five consonants in a row, and I can't do it. I'm sorry. "I want to tell you a little bit about the work which, thanks to you, I began. Do you remember the two puppets you gave me? They couldn't stay unused. I named them Magda and Marcin. They tell stories which Patricia, that's her daughter, brings home from school. These stories are about real-life situations which children may have. Following your example, I use a biblical text in commentary and application with each presentation I make up and a song. May God bless you for making all this possible for me as I serve the Lord and my children in Poland. The work with children is one of those things which gives me motivation for living closer to God. I'm thankful to the Lord, and I hope that as time passes, I will learn more and more and be better and better at doing this children's work. Thanks to you, I began this work at praise and praise. So blessed. Many greetings to you, and many wishes for God's blessing on Bayotha." Bayotha doesn't have a perfect life. She has a husband who doesn't even want to serve the Lord. and she's up against tremendous obstacles. Her baby girl, who was born 2 years ago, has a muscular disorder and still can't even turn herself over. But they have to serve Jesus, and it gives her the motivation. There are a lot of people like that, so I have some more for this anyway. Then I'll send over in November to some more workers who I've already trained. But I only took 3 puppets in, and I keep leaving puppets there, and I'm down to Mandy and Little Lamb, who are my main characters. Mandy's so old, she wouldn't do them too much good and very much longer anyway. What can I do? I've been invited to one of the biggest Baptist churches to train the puppet team. They've already they have some slides showing me. These are Polish clowns. We're training Polish people. We need, I mentioned a while ago, Sunday school workshops, because they're just now having graded Sunday schools in their churches. We need people to go and just work, making puppet curtains and stuff. They've got the sewing machines. We need to take in the fabric. Oh, they've got the fabric too. Making these kind of things. Boy, could we be busy for 2 or 3 weeks. And so, I have more invitations. I have an invitation to put before when we do that now. Any church I told you about, and it's growing so fast. We have so many possibilities that I can't do it. And I'm asking God to send some sisters. I have to give it to me. And God can use you. All of them can do something. And so if God lays it on your heart, that piece of paper you send me. In November, I'll send out a letter giving you some of these possibilities. I know a lady came up to me yesterday and said, my aunt sews, and she's been asking God, what can she do? And I said, I need a clown outfit, size medium, and there's patterns in the pattern books. So I know that God is going to supply all these needs. I want to show you the slide graph so that you can visualize. Oh, they're gorgeous. They are beautiful. And they are as bright as sunshine. That little girl is so much like Big Bell when she was little. I told some people that yesterday, and they agreed. first arrive and first put up the puppet stage. The clowns are Polish clowns. We took some American women in for 4 days. They taught the Polish camp people how to do this. And we would make them up. And the clown in the front feels led to do clown work, to do ministry with children. And we happened to put hearts on her cheeks, and so she named herself Serduszko, which means little heart. And then she cut out hearts out of paper, and she would hand them to the kids on the street who were not our camp kids, and she would tell them, let's have Jesus here at the heart, because your little heart will never be pretty like this pretty white heart until you have the Lord Jesus. And then they would start to play games with our children, and other people would just start coming and coming to watch the clowns and to watch the happiness. Just like Beverly LeHay was talking about the man last night. He said, I see somebody happy. I want whatever it is you have. This is basically the same thing that works there. The happiness, the singing, the clowns, the children, and people start coming. But what you can't see is behind these children, a huge crowd is gathering until it's time to do the puppets. Typical camp scene, dismissed. Up on the mountain above the camp, resting leaders. This is the children resting in leaders. Carolyn Willis just came in, the doctor who was an anesthesiologist at Baptist Hospital. This mom in the pink slacks right there and the blue shirt, the one that's too hot by the fire and she's kind of getting back, her name is Teresa. And she came to me crying the first day of camp. And she said, I do not like to beg. She said, through Gosha, my interpreter, I do not like to beg. But my little girl was going blind and the doctor said, can't do it. And she said, if I could just get to Austria, maybe. She said, the doctors here say that in the West, cornea transplants are done. Such a simple thing. And they removed a cataract and then didn't put a lens in. I don't know. I don't understand all of that, but I understand that the child can only see shadows. The child is the little girl right behind the 5.5 years old who makes smart time. So when we got back, Michael calls Kathy and tells Kathy of the situation. I laid it on her heart. She told John Willis, Dr. John Willis, about this. And he went to a fellow Christian from his church in Houston, Edmond, Brad Ferris, who is a neuro-oncologist. God laid it on Dr. Brad Ferris' heart. He talked with him. And now we're working on Visa Papers for Market Place. And we're here to Oklahoma City to lead the Russian family, and they were hospitality. I did not know these people. Very typical family, typical. thought we might like to ask some questions and have just a few minutes left. But I thought we might like to ask some questions. I haven't been. Have any of you been to the Soviet Bloc? I haven't been in any of the countries that we're saying are still so restricted. In the Southern Baptist work, or all through mission work throughout the world now, we call countries that it's hard to get into and that we can't freely go in and share restricted areas. I haven't been into these restricted areas. I've looked across the Czech border and I've come through on a train, but I haven't worked in those countries. Kathy has worked for a while with Light of the East, Light in the East missions who take in Bibles. She went into Romania to carry Bibles. And so she knows more about that than I do. She was there for an exchange. It was very clandestine activity. Yeah, I know your heart was beating fast. It was all done at nighttime. And so we know that some of these reports are true, that it is still very tight there. I know by the stories that came out of Czechoslovakia about the children's camp and the militia driving around the house, I know that the people there are still fearful. I have not experienced that firsthand. But I can answer some questions about some of the areas that I have been to. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Do you have children under the age of 19?
I have a daughter, 19. She's a missions major at Liberty University. She's been to Poland with me 3 of the 4 times I've been.
What do missionaries do with you?
We haven't been able to have missionaries in these countries because they are restricted areas. It's opening up for the first time. We've had a mission family living in Vienna. This has only just happened. Maybe you read it in the mission magazine. A mission family living in Vienna. We send in photo. He goes in and out, in and out, in and out, taking photocopiers, money. We took in a computer last year from the Baptist offices. They were still copying on old ribbon paper. You know, the old kind of ink on ribbon. They take in supplies, do Sunday school workshops, but they have to come in and out, in and out, as they can obtain visas. For the first time, I have not met her, but I've heard that a young woman is going in with single and no children to teach English near the university, and that will open up mission work for her. The Baptist work has spoken. The leaders of the Baptist work in Poland have spoken with my husband about moving there and doing an English language church at the university. Polish people love Americans. Much of their support comes from America. There are many Poles from America. And English classes and things like that, just hearing there's American around, people will walk up on the street and say, "Are you American?" and want to talk to you. So this opens up a place to share the gospel more than anything else. This is a great plus for us. I think even when I do puppets, that maybe more people come to hear English, Polish, English, Polish, English, Polish, than to hear the gospel. But they get it twice that way. It's great. Have to have a visa to get in there, and they have to have a visa to get in here. We can go to England just on plane ticket. But you know, we have to have a visa now. Yes. A visa is a permission slip that is issued by the embassy or by the government authorities of a country which allows you to come in. And your visa will say, you can come in on this day and you must leave by this day. I know Kathy was in Switzerland. She couldn't have stayed more than 6 months. She had to clear out in 5 months and 30 days, 5 months and 29 days, even though she didn't have, quote, a visa. We've probably been the freest country in the world to allow people in, but we're not anymore. Poles have to have a visa. parts of the world have to have a different status because of course we're still in the melt pot school. So that's what this is. We applied to Chicago, to the Soviet to the Polish consulate in Chicago for our visas. It takes about 2 weeks. And we had to have an invitation letter from the Baptist offices in Warsaw in order to get one. So that on my visa, I write down the truth to work in Christian children's camps in Poland. But many people go in to do work in churches and they just get a tourist visa, which is fine.
I'm going to do it.
It really is very much like our camp. They have Bible lessons. We go up on the mountain and roast winners, the bunches. Thank you. We have sing times for them. We have young people who play guitars for them and sing for them. Just all the different components that we put into camp here. They don't have as much money as we have, so they don't have as many handwork and crafts and things like that. They only had one ball at the first camp that we went to. And so one of the things we've done is taken a lot of frisbees and balls and stuff like that for the kids. Baseball bats. That's fun. They don't play baseball in Poland. So we've been teaching them how to do that. And I want you to know it makes a difference when you've seen it all your life. They don't know how to get a ball. They're learning.
Do you know the danger?
I know that for the Interlochen, for the European Baptist Assembly, we're going to leave on about the 6th of July. It's 1 week later than it's ever been. We're going to leave on about the 6th of July. And then the actual teaching of the children will be from from the 10th to the 14th. Once we come to ask for communion in the process to the Interlochen's children. Then we'll get the ones of us who go on to Poland, we'll get on a train. Through Czechoslovakia into Poland and start children's camps on the 17th. Through the 2nd week of August, doesn't mean you have to stay all that time, just means that that's how many camps.
I mean, you can be involved in just the interlock.
I don't have, yeah, right. I don't know even the plane schedules or anything. In November, I will send out information.
Is everything done in English and translated?
For me, it is. I've learned some songs. Y'all want to hear Polish children's songs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Okay. This is hard, y'all. It is. Polish is the language of heaven because it takes an eternity to learn it. It's rough. Let's see. Takiego jakim jestem i cieszę się. Każdym moim gestem, aleluja, Boża radość nie rozbiera. I'll tell you more about this one you'll just understand just because of the beat and everything. It's about the Lord's army. I've learned several, though, with the puppets to sing with the kids because they really like it. If they're going to learn English, it's really important that we learn just as much of their language as we can. And I've gotten good enough at enough questions and phrases that I can say, Chamogachipamus, can I help you? And they tell me what to do, and I don't understand what they've told me anyway. So that's how far along I am. I would love to learn Polish. I really would. I'm not promising that I will do it, but it thrills them that I care enough to learn Polish. So I study, and they study their English lesson every day. I try real hard to study their Polish because they are important. We Americans are offending so many people throughout the world because we are not
universally.
Yeah. It must be. I'm not a linguist, but it must have. Yes, the first year that we went out, went there, my secretary and I were actually put off the train and sent them back to Germany and tried to get the next day. Okay. Because they're supposed to sell transient visas on the train, which will allow you to pass through Czechoslovakia. A transient visa should cost you about $20 to get to Czechoslovakia, to get through Czechoslovakia. But there wasn't anybody on that particular train to sell someone, so they missed off the train and sent us back to Germany. And the next day there was. Right. They charged us $50. They just want to make a living. Oh, we were in this little tiny checkpoint, this border crossing, with everything you can imagine. It was raining, with the bridge, with the machine gun guys walking across. It really was strange. And they wouldn't sell us a visa. And we had planned to buy our visa on the train. And so they put us off the train, all the puppet bags, all the equipment. We were taking stuffing, we were taking slicers, electric slicers. We were taking a lot of equipment that we were told that they needed at the camps. Like I said, frisbees and all of that. And we were two people. We had unbelievable. I just realized I had seen my phone twice because that time it was just my secretary. So I had seen it twice. We had an unbelievable amount of stuff just piled up around the seat, right? We're just standing there watching the train blow up. We just started laughing. I mean, what do you say? You might as well. And this young man who was a border guard, it was his turn to get off. He had a car and he said he would take us back as close to the German border to the no man's land or the neutral area as he could, and he did. And then this family came along in a van and they picked us up and took us through the border back into Germany. We were wet. It was great. Those kinds of things can happen. I know Kathy said that she spent 3 hours getting through the Romanian border when they took Bible school. They had a specially made Mercedes car and a trailer. They were going in, quote, to camp. That's what they made it look like. Was built and this trailer was built so that all the siding you took off and the Bibles were between the walls. Is that right? Between the walls. And they took in Bibles, hymn books, and tapes and tape books.
Pastor just got back from Romania a couple of days. And of course, they would let them take the Bible with them. And the personal stuff that had anything to do with it, they took it away, but they got it back.
The first time we went to Russia, we tried to carry in Bibles. They let us take our personal Bibles. They took our Bibles to our friends and said,
they took what we were going to do. But
they did not give them back to us. Amen.
And is this your full-time job? You guys have residence here in the States?
I'm a mother, have farms and cows,
and
one sheep and one dog and granny papa and an office. And I spend a certain amount of time here. Makes me happy. love to play Sublime. It's just so much fun. And we're not recording still. Oh, my.
I was having such fun with y'all. You folks on the tape, we love you too. Bye-bye.
I've been an advocate for it. We were sharing news when you were talking about news, and somebody said, right, asking somebody, wonderful.